are now listening to the Duo Sports and Stuff Podcast. Here are your hosts, Deontay Epps and Dane Beasley.
Hello and welcome to episode 61 of the Duo Sports and Stuff 61? Podcast. Episode 61 of the Duo Sports and Stuff Podcast. My name is Deontay Epps, joined by my brother, my friend, my ace, Dane Beasley. How you doing, my dude?
Yeah, boy!
Doing good, man. Doing really good. I would love to say it feels like a Friday, and maybe it does feel like a Friday because of what I'm about to do after this podcast is over with. Much like many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, game players will be doing sometime today if they haven't been doing it within the last week or so. Yes,
doing pretty good. I wonder what game you're talking about there, buddy. Could it be a basketball franchise known as
Kizzle? I don't play any of that type of stuff. None of that stuff, but.
Anywho, I'm pretty good. Thankful to say the least, but I'm Gucci, my boy. I'm Gucci.
Good to hear it, my guy. Good to hear it. Episode 61 of the Duo Sports and Stuff Podcast on Blue Wire Hustle. Just want to say thank you for everyone that has been along for the ride for 61 episodes and continue to ride the Duo Sports and Stuff Podcast train as we head towards episode 100. Bro, I can't wait till we get to 100, bro. It's going to be crazy.
That's going to be something. As Chad Johnson used to say, it's going to be a historical event. Thriller Manila. I'm like, boy, if you don't sit, Jody.
Speaking to Chad Johnson, not speaking to him, but NFL in general, week one in the books. A lot of crazy stuff going on. A lot of upsets. A lot of
craziness
going on.
Speaking of upsets, I just want to take this time right now to humbly congratulate the one Deontay, middle name Epps, for upsetting your boy in something no other than known as fantasy football. I took my first L, my first fantasy football L in 3 years. Not because I went on a 2-year win streak or 3-year win streak, because I haven't played in 3 years. So
I think I'm on a 2-year hiatus.
Yeah, maybe 2 years. It's been a long time. The last time I played was in the league when I was with you guys. It was very close. And by close, I mean I lost only by about 50, 60 points. So to put that out there. So shout out to you, Deontay. I haven't formally congratulated you. I forgot about it this morning until I got the notifications about my roster waivers going through. So. I want to do that publicly.
Thank Shout you, out sir. To you.
I'll
take my bow.
Enjoy it. Because all I have to say is, Amari Cooper won't be so kind to you next time. Especially whenever he gets a chance to play home, he's not going to be so kind to you. My man does not show up at home.
I was just about to say, your boy Cooper put in work for me, gave me 38 points. I really didn't need anybody else at that point.
Damn, the salt in the wound right there. Sorry. Every single away game, he balls out. Home games, expect it. But, I'm thankful that your Cowboys receiver did what they were supposed to. Mine's unfortunately got hurt, and he's out for like 5 weeks. So, I had to drop him like a bad habit. But, shout out to everybody and everybody who's a fan of a team that won, and shout out to everybody who's a fan of a fantasy team that won. Not including myself, because I took a huge, humongous, embarrassing F.
Speaking of the Cowboys, Dane, your guys played Thursday night right before our last recorded episode. And I know we had talked about what to expect with, Dak Prescott and the guys. Yeah. And I can honestly say I was surprised. Like, this is first live action, and we talked about it on through text message and stuff. His first action since, his ankle snapped. And he hasn't had any live action since then. He practiced, he's throwing the ball and stuff, but nothing compares to game time speed. They didn't come out with the victory, but how were you looking at Dak? Were you impressed with what you saw with him?
I was impressed. That build for tough head ass boy surprised me, man. I've been on record many, many times saying I'm not sure what Dak Prescott is. I know that he's capable of doing things, but I've always been kind of like in the shadows, like, I'm waiting for you to throw a pick. Cause I still hadn't any idea what he was because of the identity of the team, And because the transition between the Jason Garrett era to the Mike McCarthy era. So I was just as shocked and surprised as you. I had us losing by 10 points, two possessions. So by the middle of the second quarter, I was okay. He's looking pretty nice. I was impressed. Still some things to clean up, obviously. Got to be a negative Nancy. But, you know, still some things to clean up offensively, but he'll get there. But he definitely impressed the hell out of me. But, you know, shout out to the Bucks for taking the dub. But, yeah, it's the thing about that W is, or the thing about their W, you can always, 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 always count on the Cowboys to lose you a game within a minute and 30 seconds of a game, at least. Two or three times a season. Yeah. Never fails.
It seemed like, there's the special teams, you know, snafu with Greg the leg. And I didn't even know they said he had surgery in the offseason on his back, and he's still trying to get into the warm up. Do you think he is bouncing back, or is that kind of one of those things where it sticks in your head and it might drag on for a few weeks?
Anytime you have back related surgery, that's a lingering, and that's never going to be 100%. Any specialist or any person that has some beautiful letters in front of their name will tell you that that kind of thing, it never gets back to 100%, and the issues can still linger. My whole issue with him is not really his fault. It's the coach, Bones Fossil. That he's the issue, in my opinion, because that was his guy. We had a perfectly fine kicker last year, Kai Forbath, or the year before that, whenever it was. Kai Forbath was dope. He was good. And you bring in your own guy, and he just doesn't make any sense to me. But, yeah. Y'all just watch the game. You can't win them all,
It was funny. One of Karina's friends had asked about her. She had like three fantasy quarterbacks. I don't know why she had three. She was like, which one should I start? And one of the quarterbacks was Justin Herbert for week two. And, you know, they go against the Cowboys secondary. And all the quarterbacks she had, the other one was Ryan Tannehill. And, oh, man, what was the other one? I can't even think of the third one, but I chose Justin Herbert just because Dallas defense. You know, the secondary for sure still seems like the Achilles heel of the team. And then I just saw before we started recording that you guys might not have, I don't know if you saw it, you might not have Dexter Lawrence or Gregory. I think Lawrence is on, or he has a foot injury, and then Gregory is on the COVID list.
Been known about Gregory, found out about Tank on the way home because of practice. But to me at least, the weakness of our defense has been the defensive line. The only reason why I say is because the most impressive person on the entire team from week one was Trevon Diggs. You didn't hear about him because other than him catching a pick. Yeah. It's a combination of him just blanketing Mike Evans. And, of course, when AB was eating the way that he was, there's no reason for Tom Brady to try to force it to Mike Evans in the first place. But Trevon was doing his thing. But the defensive line has always been an issue. It's going to continue to be an issue. Obviously, when you're playing Tom Brady, he's always going to get the ball out quick. So the edge rushers are never going to have a good time. Anybody that plays against Tom Brady that has the most success, I think mostly it's defensive tackles. Your notable defensive tackles, because they push the pocket. And Tom Brady is such a magician in terms of pocket awareness and climbing the pocket. So it's not an issue for him stepping up and making a throw, in which our edge rushers, they were at him all night, but they his release is just too quick. So Justin Herbert is going to be eating really good.
That's going to be really
good.
So. Yeah, it's going to be another tough task for the Dallas defense to try to slow him down in that offense. They played against Washington week one, and, you know, it was a close one, low scoring game. Can attribute that to the Washington defense was probably one of their strengths of the of last year for them that led them to the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely the strength of the team.
Right. And so that's not an easy task going against them. And, you know, the Herbert and the Chargers pulled that through. Another team, Dane, and player that impressed me a lot. He didn't put up crazy numbers besides the number of touchdown passes he threw, which is Jameis Winston.
Oh,
going famous into famous. Like, well, they weren't at home. They were the home team. They played in Jacksonville against the Packers. Yeah, blowout 38-3. Jameis Winston had. He was 14 of 20, 148 yards and 5 touchdowns. Exact opposite of how Aaron Rodgers played. Like, you would have thought that Aaron Rodgers would outplay Jameis Winston. Mm-hmm. Jameis looked good, man. You know, first time starting for the Saints, and looked decisive in what he was trying to do. Looked comfortable in the New Orleans offense post Drew Brees.
Shout out to his trainer.
Who's his trainer? His quote after the game. He said, My trainer said, what'd he say?
I forgot what he said, but
I forgot. Yeah.
But it was real important. Man. Very important.
Yeah.
Shout out to him, man. Shout out to the win is, I don't mean to cut you off, but the win itself for New Orleans was more impressive than anything. It meant more to that team than it did to any other team, just because of what's been going on with everybody that has been misplaced because of that hurricane and the tropical storms that are always clashing with Louisiana. So that was real special for them to go out there and kick butt the way that they did, man. So shout out to them. But back to what you were saying, brother.
No, you're good, bro. I one of the reasons that I also tuned into this game is I'm in another fantasy league, and my quarterback of that league is the Aaron Rodgers. And so I was tuned in. I was tuned into this broadcast, and my guy Rodgers did not look like himself. Quarterback rating wise, his worst start that we've probably seen ever in his career. Just in general, we know that a lot of the top offensive players, quarterbacks, didn't play in the preseason, but at the same time, it just looks like it was no work put in general, like preseason, offseason. It looked like when you take months off and, you know, you just hop into the offense to try to get things going. But overall, do we kind of think, and I know we got some Packers fans that listen to the podcast, so I'll tread lightly here, do we think that, you know, everything going on with Aaron Rodgers over the offseason with the Packers and the drama, the will I retire, I want to get traded kind of thing, do you think that's kind of tampering over into what, you know, into the team and the morale and chemistry, or you think that's just like a week one snafu kind of thing?
Look, you can try to chop it up in 200 different ways you can, but point blank period, your job as a professional football player is to come out there and perform. And they did not come out there and perform. So it's been a pretty much a circus with their offseason, or whatever you want to call it. But I'm going to call, for the sake of lack of a better word, I'm going to call it a circus. And I know a little bit about a circus in offseason. We have one here in Dallas every single year. But that was a circus. Now, if you mean to tell me that the whole whatever situation you want to call it with Aaron Rodgers in the front office, if that didn't have any effect on that game, then by all means, do your thing. However, that is not the Aaron Rodgers that I know. That ain't right. Aaron Rodgers that marched down on my team with a minute and 18 seconds left and kicked our tails. Like, that's – I would hope no quarterback, especially of that pedigree.
Like, would check out, like, mentally.
Would check out like that.
Yeah.
Like, especially during the game. Because, you know, I think game time, some people don't need practice to get better. And they show up during game – they call them gamers or whatever.
Yeah.
They show up on game day and then they ball out. And he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that needs practice based on the level of talent that, you know, that he's shown us. But at the same time, that game looked horrible. And there's one person that said a really good thing, or really made you think, speculate. Him playing as bad as he did, I don't want to say it was intentional, but the person who was a Green Bay Packers fan, I'm not going to out them, said that he could have intentionally played bad, or he could have intentionally not checked out of any of those bad calls and just went with them. So,
well,
I don't know what you want to call it.
Oh, there, you know, in the Mike McCarthy days, you know, there was rumors about his friction with Mike McCarthy and whether he wanted to call certain plays or run certain mm-hmm. plays like that. I wouldn't go that far in week one, but I do think it's interesting that we see his worst performance ever, you know, that we've ever seen from him in a week one game after everything that's happened so far. And, you know, basically everyone knows it's kind of like a lame duck year where this is his last season. And we, I think you had them as your Super Bowl pick too, kind of going like the opposite of, you know, you had mentioned The Last Dance. Like, so we're going the opposite of like, hey, this is my last time. I'm going to show everybody what I'm what I'm made of. I'm going to prove the doubters wrong kind of thing. But like, there's a big thing about week one overreaction. So I'm not going to say they're going to not miss the playoffs, not going to get things right, but it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back in week two. Hey. Because if we see a similar performance, then you can kind of raise your eyebrows.
Your red cape is hanging out. So tuck it back in, my boy. The cape that you put on, put tuck your cape back in, my boy. But we gonna see. But I'm not jumping to conclusions either. But sometimes you got to call a thing. But you know, I'm just podcast guy. What do I know?
I see what you're saying. I'm just saying let's wait. Let's see how he performs week two. All right. Another one of the big games on the slate week one was Browns Chiefs. And the script was what we've seen previously, right?
We see the Browns going brown.
Went up by 3 scores, I believe, maybe 18, 17 points in this game. And then on the other end, we got the Kansas City Chiefs. They're like, literally, bro, I can compare the Chiefs, and I've heard this oftentimes before. The Chiefs are the NBA or NFL's version of the Golden State Warriors, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely. Up
2 scores, 3 scores on Kansas City with nine minutes. And you cannot chill. You cannot let your foot off the gas. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Steph will come down, hit a three. Clay will come down, hit a three. Draymond will get a steal and a dunk. You know what I'm saying? Then you're looking up at the scoreboard. You're down like, 2-3 points. Right.
What is this run that these guys just went on? They were down 85 points.
Exactly. 2 minutes like, ago. I think they have like the third quarter of death run where they always come out after halftime and just
them halftime adjustments.
Right. And then that's what you see with Kansas City, man. Like all game, you know, they're in a rut. They're like going through the motions. Like, man, what's wrong with the Chiefs? What's wrong with Patrick Mahomes? What's wrong with the offense? And then bam, look up, touchdown. Fourth quarter, right. They're turning it on. And like, as we've seen a lot of times before, bro, like when they're turning it on, like similar to Golden State, you can't stop
it. Nothing you can do to stop it.
Yeah. So it looked like, you know, just a typical, like what we've seen from both of these teams so far. What'd you think?
I was one impressed with Cleveland at first. And then I had to do one of these. Come back. I almost lost you.
Yeah.
Because if you were like me, then you were like doing a little bit of research. You were looking on the watch list and making sure, Cleveland defense, has anybody picked them up during this fantasy league yet?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to put them on the watch list. I'll come back at the end of the third quarter. Came back at the end of the third quarter. And of course, the game was totally different. I was like, yep, take them off my watch list. Boom. But Cleveland, I'm still not going to sleep on Cleveland because the defense they have is very, very talented and they're young. Right. I don't know what the hell they are on offense in terms of Baker Mayfield because you have no idea what you're going to get some days. But they have some dogs on defense. So I'm not going to sleep on them. Hopefully they learn from – no, they're not going to learn from that. We'll see what the Cleveland Browns bring us or how they can entertain us in the future. But Cleveland going Cleveland. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
shout out to Patrick Mahomes and then and shout out to Eric Bieniemy too. Speculation is that he's possibly having an interview soon somewhere on the West Coast. School. Yeah.
USC, my thing?
Possibly. We'll see. But pause. We'll see. We will see. what other games were intriguing to you, Deontay?
The Monday night game, man. Ravens, Raiders.
For all the wrong reasons for me.
Yeah.
For all the wrong reasons.
It was a battle of who could lose better in more spectacular fashion. Like, I know the Ravens are missing a lot of players. They got a ton of players on IR. But that's a team that kind of like like, based on the success of the last few years where, you know, Lamar Jackson's going to be Lamar Jackson, but he has to have guys around him to be more consistent. And even I'll even put more on him as far as being more careful with the football. You know, we've seen a lot of the fumbles in week one. He has to understand, and I'm sure he does, like, every opportunity they get on the field, every chance they have to capitalize on getting some kind of points, because around him, the talent is not what he's seen previously, like, as far as the injuries are concerned. So him being the leader of the team, he has to kind of take that mindset. I got to be more careful with the football because every possession is going to count, because I don't have the guys next to me that are usually there that I can count on to, you know, make a turnover on defense, you know, a big run on offense, a big pass play, a big catch, something like that. So I think he has to do better. And I know, like, as a player who he is, that he knows, and like, you've seen him during the game towards the end when they lost, he's like, that's on me. Like, that last fumble, they cut to him and he's like, that's on me. That's my fault. Yeah. But I mean, I think the Ravens will still make the playoffs. I think they're still a playoff team. Raiders on the other end, I'm not sure. The entire AFC West, including the Broncos, you know, went 1-0 in week one, which means nothing. But at the same time, a division that's usually an afterthought is, you know, 1-0 through or 4-0 through week one. One thing I wanted to mention about the Monday Night Football game, Dan, I don't know if you tuned in to the Manning broadcast. Yeah,
that was the most exciting part. I tuned in for those guys in Eli Manning or the Mannings and Friends. That's what I tuned in for. I could care less who was playing. I love football. I love watching amazing, spectacular, giant human beings run at speeds that they should not be running at. I love that. However, when you tell me that Charles Barkley might be on TV and it's a possibility of him saying something stupid or his foot in his mouth, I'm going to tune in. And yet on top of that, you get an expert level of analysis from some Hall of Famers, like hearing Ray Lewis talk and the stories that they had and just them making fun of each other. Like, that was invaluable. So the game was a footnote to me. The commentary from ESPN2, that was cool. That was cool. That was really cool. And I know you were probably, you know, obviously watching the game for multiple reasons, but you know, you and your boy Darren Waller. So that was I'm sure that was a treat. Freaking 19 targets.
Yeah, I mean, I passed up
that fool's name so many times. I was like, I don't know. Derek Carr. I just kept thinking Derek Carr is the quarterback. And then now I'm thinking, damn it, Derek Carr, 19 targets. Like, so
yeah, that's who he going to target. Like, that's his man. Like, I've seen Darren Waller, like, obviously being a Broncos fan, you see the Raiders twice a year, and so
absolutely
we could not stop that guy. So I was like, yep. Yeah. And you know, him and Kelce, probably best top three tight ends in the NFL right now. But looking ahead to week two, I got two games that I think will be probably top tier, not maybe in the score, but just marquee games that I have.
Okay, kidding me.
One is, we just talked about the Ravens. They play the Chiefs on Sunday night. That's going to be tough. We just talked about Darren Waller. We just talked about how the Raiders carved up the Ravens defense, 435 yards passing. Right. And then, as we just mentioned, you know, you got Patrick Mahomes up next. So good luck to the Ravens defense. Like, at this time, you look at Lamar Jackson, it's like, he, as we talked about, he has to be able to put points up and not just field goals against KC. You got to put up touchdowns every possession or try to get touchdowns going against Kansas City and that offense. Is there anything particularly you think might be the key to how Baltimore can pull it off?
Control the clock.
Smart.
Control the clock and just don't turn over the ball. I mean, they have the tools. They have the coaching staff. They just got to put it together, and hopefully they do that. But we're going to get a hell of a good game. Prime time, too? What's it? Who has home?
It's at Baltimore.
Baltimore? Okay. Ooh.
Yeah.
Vegas put anything out yet?
Right now, it is sitting at Chiefs -3.5.
Oh.
Which is closer than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's very close.
So it'll be interesting to see what comes about in that one. The other one I had circled is your boys again.
Of course.
The Cowboys going against the Chargers, seeing how, and that'll be a, 3 o'clock kickoff on CBS. We mentioned already how the Cowboys secondary is going to have to deal with, you know, Justin Herbert and the weapons he has on that side. But what does Dak, what does Dak need to do to kind of take the load on his shoulders and, you know, put up a fight?
Score in the red zone. Red zone scoring has been an issue for the Dallas Cowboys offense for years. Execution in the red zone kicked us in the ass on week one. One particular drive in particular. I can't English today, guys. I'm sorry. The drive that comes to mind that we should have scored seven, it ended with Ezekiel Elliott one-on-one in open field with a third-string safety that just got called up from the practice squad. This is not a slight against the young man. This is me saying the caliber of player that Zeke is supposed to be should have made that guy miss and should have walked into the end zone. However, also keeping in mind that safety should have been blocked by your starting tight end. However, that did not happen. That type of stuff can happen.
Yeah.
But he walks in the end zone if that block is even made for – if the block is just any better, a little bit better. If the tight end just gets in the way and falls without holding the safety, he walks into the end zone. But obviously it doesn't come down to that one play us losing. But situations like that, you continue to see that. That is a very dangerous and deadly thing and a very dangerous and deadly habit to start, you know, doing, especially at this time of year. So my thing is red zone scoring. If they can score when they get in the red zone and take advantage of those opportunities and come away with six versus, and I say six intentionally, not seven, because I can't even count on this guy to make the PAT.
Yeah.
So we can count on them to make six instead of three. We're in that thing. Defense is going to do what they do. They're going to bend and bend and bend and possibly break. But more often than not, they're going to surprise us just like they always do. But I don't
get a turnover.
I don't count on defense to do a damn thing. So it's going to be a pretty good game. I have to wait until it gets closer to Sunday before I say like what my prediction is, cause just to see the injury report and who's going to be playing, who's not going to be playing. But again, we're not with our best five offensive linemen, so that's going to be an interesting thing again. But we're going to see. I don't know. There are some players I'm looking forward to seeing, though. KJ Hill, I don't know if you know, he's probably going to be one of the best slot guys. in
Where'd he go?
History of it. Oh, he went to Ohio State.
Speaking of Ohio, we'll get to Ohio State in a second.
I know you can't wait. Barbie like this. Yeah. So. Can't wait to see him on offense. Obviously, the Chargers, they're stacked. They are stacked on offense. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be fun to watch to see what they do and how they can carve up the defense or see who are they going to key in on. Are they going to go after Anthony Brown, who played pretty bad last week?
Right.
And gave up the cheeks multiple times. So we'll see what they do, and it'll show us a lot about what they respect about our defense or not. So.
Yeah, looking ahead to week two. But Dan, you put in a great note in our podcast notes about the week one ratings, and I went and looked it up from The Athletic. So the NFL week one ratings are up 7% over last year, second highest in the last five seasons. Week one of the NFL season drew an average of 17.4 million viewers on television and digital platforms, a 7% increase over last season. The viewership of the slate of 16 games was the second highest week one average over the last five seasons. And then the first Monday Night Football broadcast of the season, a wild overtime affair between the Raiders and Ravens, averaged 15.3 million viewers across all the ESPN platforms, a total that included the Peyton and Eli Manning simulcast, which was really good as well. But
really good.
I don't think this is a surprise to me. I think football is, obviously I'm being biased, but I really do think it's the best sport. And I think as much as people sometimes disagree with how it's run and who the commissioner is, at the end of the day, I believe it's very popular among everyone. Like even in the summertime when people are relaxing, enjoying vacations with their family. It's always, man, I can't wait for football season. I hear that all the time. And, you know, basketball, I have a lot of basketball fan or friends that are basketball fans more than football. But I've always heard, Dane, like, I can't wait football season.
Football is king, my boy. Yeah. Football is king. It's king for the next 19 Sundays, bro. We got football. Feel me? You can't say that about no basketball. You can't say that about no baseball. You can't say that about no soccer. You can't say that. That intensity. Do you feel that thing that's beating inside your chest?
Do you feel that? Okay, Ray. Remember that was the intro to Madden, that one game?
40 levels of pain. I've been in this thing for 15 years. I'm like, boy, if you don't get your big Baptist preaching, man.
He was on the cast, too.
He came out there like he was somebody's deacon or something. I've been in this thing for 15 years.
Yeah. So he was on the Manning cast, solid. Too.
Yeah, he was. They were clowning Eli because Eli's first game was against the Ravens. And I didn't remember he did that bad. Like, I know he did bad. I mean, he's always been a horrible quarterback, but I didn't know it was that man.
Regular season quarterback. Okay, continue.
Again, tuck your cape in. It's showing. But it was funny to see the commentary we got from those two was funny. But the viewership, it's awesome to think about. Especially because there are all those people that are pissed off and mad. It's like, you mean to tell me you're going to play that damn Black Anthem at the beginning of the game? I'm like, if you don't like it, then don't watch it. Like, and people are still watching it. Yes. All because
I'm going to watch it, but I ain't going to like it. That's what
I tell you what, but I tell you what, I ain't gonna enjoy it, but I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, man, ratings. I totally agree. Agreeing with you on that one, bro. Just football continues to take. Yeah.
Pick up one more thing before we kill it.
We get off the sports, man. In the college thing, I just one thought, and then we'll get off of it about Ohio State dropping to Oregon.
I hate you. Look, I came to terms with it, but I took a nap in the middle of the damn game. This kid has escaped.
You almost made me choke.
It's very seldom that we get that the Beasley household gets an opportunity to all three of us take a nap at the same time. And I was like, damn, 20-7? Close that iPad. All right, guys, let's go to sleep. So I woke up and it was a close game. I was like, cool. It says more about me being tired than it does me being an Ohio State fan, but they kicked our ass, bro. That score doesn't tell the truth. Anytime that you underestimate your opponent and they come in there and beat your behind, shame on you for thinking less of them and thinking so much of yourself. And
especially when you're at home, too.
Especially when you're at home. But that game let me know more than anything. One, college football is back. And two, anybody can get it. Even six-time Pro Bowlers can get stomped out too. If you know what that's from, let me know. Deontay Cash at you $5. Six-time Pro Bowlers can still get knocked out too. To quote her directly, but yeah, so that was an impressive game. There's a lot of not to brag. Well, no, it's not a brag on Ohio State. This is a brag on both teams. That field, both sides of the ball, 22 players. Tons of NFL talent.
Yeah.
Tons of NFL talent. You're going to see a lot of those guys playing on Sundays. If not this season, then the following season, because they're especially Oregon. That game, what that does for Oregon, I mean, obviously they're already masterminds in terms of recruiting on the West Coast. That helps their base in terms of their recruiting, period. Beating them on the national stage like that, it doesn't get any better than that. it doesn't get any better than that. So shout out to the Ducks and of course the amazing unis they have, and then the play calling was offensive play calling was brilliant. Execution was up there.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
Yeah, we're gonna get to see some real dogs, man, here in a few years from the Oregon Ducks. So go on back out there to Eugene and you know, enjoy yourself and you know, pick on somebody else. But look, this ain't the last you heard of the Ohio Buckeyes. Ohio.
And that right. is it for our sports segment. Before we get to the nerdy news, I'd like to give a podcast shout out to the After Extra Time podcast with Stuart Cavanaugh and Paul M. Banks. They cover the big news, big names in the English Premier League. So be sure to check out their podcast and follow their social. Their social at Stewie, ISSUCKOFIT, and Paul at Paul M. Banks, and follow their podcast social media After ET underscore podcast. And with that, it is time for
What's That Sound? Nerds!
Nerdy news segment brought to you by Keith.
Also,
Keith, thank you, Keith. Keith produced our last YouTube video and for our last episode because I didn't have the time to do it, and he graciously took that role on. So appreciate you, Keith. Episode 6 of What If? Man,
You said it wrong. It's What If?
What if? Episode 6, light premise, spoiler alert. heads back to the first Iron Man movie at the very beginning when Tony Stark is kidnapped by the Ten Rings organization. And we found out from the Shang-Chi movie about a little bit more about the Ten Rings. But in this particular instance, a man and soldier by the name of Killmonger, who we met in Black Panther, played by Michael B. Jordan.
That boy, Eric.
Takes the damn muscle and throws it into the mountains, saves Tony Stark. And, you know, he befriends Tony Stark. Tony is like, man, you saved my life. What do you need from me, basically? And that's when Killmonger said, man, I'm actually trying to build this Gundam schematic kind of thing.
This drone program.
At first, bro, there was a tiny ounce of me that was like, oh, maybe he's going to be good this time. And then there was a light switch that I was like, oh, man, the same stuff that we saw from this character in Black. I had a little faith in him. there was a tiny bit of hope. But, you know, right when we saw that switch where, like, his character kind of lined up with how we saw in Black Panther. Mm-hmm. He goes on to kill Rhodey. He goes on to kill T'Challa. And at that point, it's like, there's nobody that's going to stop this guy. Dane, what did you think of the episode, the performance from the characters, the ones that we saw before, different appearances from other characters as well? What'd you think?
Here's the thing. I was excited to see this different take on the happening in the desert for Tony. However, I was like, damn, we kind of already knew that I wanted to see something different from the character Killmonger. We knew he had a mean streak and he would do whatever it takes. Yeah. He would do whatever it takes to get whatever is rightfully owed to him. And doing so, killing and deceiving lots of people. But I was like, I've already seen that from him. We've seen that from him in the movie. So it's like, I was hoping it was going to be something else. But when it wasn't, I was like, okay, this is just what it is.
It kind of literally went off the path. It's like, okay, we saw it. But then it kind of ended up going right back into what we've seen before. I'm glad you said that. Similar to what we saw in episode 1 with Captain Carter, right? Like,
right.
Everything was kind of mirrored of how Steve Rogers was in our universe. And then at the end, we kind of see, you know, she fights, ends up in the same realm with wakes up nearby Nick Fury or whatever, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But yeah, I can see where the disappointment would be in that.
It's just when he turned in Obadiah Knight, I was like, okay, bet. He's one of the good guys. And then
yeah,
seen that sliver in his eye, like, yeah, got your ass now. So I was like, yeah. So it was cool. I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it. It was really cool just to see the interactions that he had with some of the characters and the storylines we are accustomed to, you know, turning out differently. But it just kind of, sorry, at some point, some you got to have some sort of conviction. Like, that dude's got some daddy issues, some uncle issues. Yes. He needs some
family
counseling.
Issues in general.
Somebody's grandma needs to lay their praying hands on him and pray over that dude, because he's got some deep issues. Like, how you kill all these people you don't even know? I mean, obviously, I don't condone killing, but one thing, you kill a bad guy, but you're killing all these good dudes just because of something that your uncle did. Like, that ain't got nothing to do with them, bro. And that's, right. To me, that's where the writing was like, the motive isn't there for them to do it, for him to do it that way. I understand it's an alternate different universe and the different motives, and it's, you know,
right.
That, but just, it didn't, to me, it didn't make sense for him to do a lot of that killing that he did without it being built up. And obviously we're, you know, getting 30-minute episodes, so we don't get the luxury of the buildup. So correct. I understand that. So let me have some grace. Let me show some grace there. So, but you know, I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it. Didn't know where they were going after, you know, he was taking out all the drones and stuff. And I was like, okay, so where are they going with this? Is he going to, and then they cut to Pepper, you know, going into her office to, of course, sob and stuff. And then boom. Sure, right there. Mm-hmm. So
like, we get three more episodes of this season of What If, and a lot of these episodes are left on cliffhangers.
Yeah,
this episode one, probably a few other episodes as well. Maybe the Doctor Strange episode. We kind of thought that Doctor Strange would lead into maybe his movie somehow with the multiverse. But I keep coming back to this question after every episode, like, will we see some of these stories again in maybe a season? We know there's going to be a season two. Will these continue in a season two? Will these continue this season? Like, it feels like only three episodes would not connect all these different stories. I think we're literally seeing different stories where some might connect to what we know. I still think that's kind of up in the air, but it'll be interesting to see, like, if they decide to connect it here or like later in season two or something like that.
Yeah, I trust the dudes in Marvel. Obviously, my imagination is running wild with the possibilities, because with us losing, you know, Chadwick Boseman the way that we did, and just the expectation, of course, before we found out everything about this, the expectation of the legacy of Black Panther and what it was going to become. Like, a lot of that still, for me at least, has a lot of question marks. And this kind of helped bridge the gaps a little bit, or filled in the gaps a little bit, because what they can do, what they're not limited to, I guess it's the possibilities are endless. So I'm enjoying the ride. I'm hopeful as to where it's going, and I'm curious what the next episode is going to be, or how this, or if all this links together towards the end of the season finale.
Same. Exactly. To close out our show, we'll talk about two trailers that are recently released. The first, Disney Plus, Marvel Studios, Hawkeye, that drops on November 24th. I think it's 24th on Disney Plus. Basically picks up where Hawkeye left off in Avengers Endgame. He's trying to get back to his family, trying to connect with them, and then all of a sudden the reports of, you know, remember in Endgame, you know, after the snap, he's Ronin, he's killing all these villains and gangs and stuff like that. There's someone that's similar to him. We found out that's Kate Bishop. It seems like it has a Christmas vibe as well, which might connect to what we see in Spider-Man No Way Home. I think it'll be interesting to see, like, Hawkeye had never been one of the characters that, like, I had to see. He's always the side guy, but his character in the MCU has been interesting, because we've seen him basically been trying to retire since maybe Civil War. He's been trying to rest. But I think at the end of this series, we'll kind of see the passing of the torch to Kate Bishop as the new Hawkeye. First vibes that you get from the trailer, bro?
That the idea that him retiring, like, it keeps popping up. Like, damn, like, this man, let this man rest. He in the backyard trying to build a deck, and then boom, here's a big ass Quinjet flown down, destroying his crops, and here comes Nick Fury.
We need you.
We need you. You got 10 minutes to pack up your bags and get in the jet. But I just started. You got 5. So that's like that's that whole thing. I'm trying to come to. I was like, man, like let this old ass, and this is a human. This man ain't got no superpowers. He's got a bow and an arrow. So I'm curious to see what it does. Obviously, if you're a comic book reader, this looks like it's setting up with the arrival, with the confirmation at least of Kate Bishop. It looks like it's setting up for our young Avengers. So I don't know. I hope that that's what this is, but I'm not gonna put all my chips in the bag for that one. But all these youthful superheroes, I think that's where we could potentially be going.
I mean, yeah, they've laid the groundwork for them for sure. You got Isaiah Bradley. Mm-hmm. What's the grandson's name? Bradley's grandson. Is it Isaiah? Eli Bradley.
Eli Bradley. Elijah, maybe? I mean, one of the
Elijah Bradley.
The Bradley kid. You know, the one from Baltimore.
Wanda's kids from WandaVision, Speed and Wiccan. We got
Riri,
Kid Loki. Kid Loki from the Loki series. Riri supposedly becoming in the new Black Panther movie. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're getting those characters in place for sure, those pieces. So.
Well, yeah. Look, they'll announce a Disney Plus project like 2 or 3 years from now. Introducing the Young Avengers. And then you have a little faint little Avengers background noise.
Doo-doo-doo. Facts. There's also rumors that Kingpin could be in this series too, in the same one from the Netflix series, which would be the icing on the cake. Like, what's his name?
I don't know his name, but he's a hell of an actor.
Vincent D'Onofrio or something like that.
Yeah, he's a hell of an actor for me not to know the dude's name, but I love the dude in Daredevil. Like, he was that fool. You talking about somebody has some issues? That fool has some issues. Them monologues he was going on, and then it's the twitching of his neck sometimes. I just believe that no one has the power that I have or the resources that I'm like, all right, bro.
Yeah.
We just acting. I act.
Yeah. somebody hit me, they're gonna be fired.
Where you going? We got a game. Like, no, we don't. Don't you see these cameras?
Now y'all let us know where that's from.
Yeah, let us know where that's from. Deontay, cash up your $5. I'll cash happy $5 too. If you let me know where that's from.
But interesting to see how this this series plays out. Starts November 24th on Disney Plus. And then another trailer, Dane, is for the new Matrix, which is called.
Oh my gosh.
What is it called?
Oh, shit. I don't know. Matrix. Not Revolutions.
Resurrections, right?
Resurrections.
I think it's that the Resurrections. Word.
Look, we're qualified to talk about this, guys. We promise, okay?
Yeah,
we watched the trailer.
Well, I'll preface. I only watched it one time. And while we talk about how we watched it, I watched it one time and I felt confused because I'm like, dang, I need to go back and watch the first three over again. Like, I remember the story and what happened and all that stuff, but it's just like, I'm mad, one, because they made Neo look like John Wick. And
he's probably in the process of filming John Wick. So he's like, I really can't cut my hair. I really can't cut my hair, so I'll have to do the same look. So that's probably exactly what it is. That man's got
I hate money. That, bro. It just looks like I immediately think John Wick, because you know what I'm saying? He's been John Wick for the past.
Man, use your imagination. Just picture him clean shaven with a short haircut with a comb over.
I can't do it.
All right, here's the breakdown.
What'd you think of the trailer, bro?
I loved it. The idea, I felt a little bit of regret and felt secondhand embarrassment. I was like, damn, Fresh Prince really chose Wild Wild West over this. Like, that sucks.
I saw that on Twitter. People talking about that.
Like, damn. So this is his age. He was like, no, you want to turn down that futuristic crap. What you want to do? Picture Tombstone, but a comedy. Like that, his agent, whoever it is, whoever that person was, sold him on that. And listen, Will Smith is still a very successful person, but in another alternate universe on What If, Will Smith is starring in The Matrix. And for those of you who don't know, the role, the lead role for Neo was originally intended for Will Smith, but of course he mm-hmm. turned it down to star in a great movie. You might have heard of it called The Wild Wild West. If you haven't, don't go look
The up. Wild Wild West.
Yeah, look the up wild, the music wild video. West. Not the movie. The movie was straight buns, but the music video is pretty dope. But yeah, I thought it was impressive. I seen Trinity again. I'm like, man, I thought you were dead. So she's back. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea. Like, and then what our boy, was it Yara? Is Yara his name? It's Yara's name.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Candyman.
Candyman. Yeah.
Candyman getting bread, boy. Candyman is getting his bread. Like,
Candyman getting that candy.
Candyman getting them Starburst. Nah, he's homies in everything. Every time you turn which way, homies in everything.
Yeah.
Dang.
In general, man, it's like this movie comes out December 22nd and it'll be in theaters and on HBO Max, same day drop. But in general, with Marvel, obviously, we know their slate with Eternals and, you know, in Sony, we got the new Venom. We got Eternals, we got Shang-Chi that just dropped, we got Spider-Man No Way Home, and then we got this, and then backdoored in March with Doctor Strange, like for a comic book slash entertainment movie
that slate genre for 2024.
Fan. Yeah.
The 2024 slate that they announced or confirmed that there are four unnamed titles.
Right. Right. It's just I think one of them Fantastic Four by the
show. Gotta be. But nonetheless, I am excited, bro. And if you haven't watched, if you're like my wife and you haven't watched any of the Matrix movies, get on that, man. Get on that. I don't know. I've got her to watch plenty of stuff, but that's just something she just can't get into. Like, I told her, like, but no, there's shooting and there's punching and, you know, like,
there's slowing down of time.
I was like, come on, let's go. Lawrence Fishburne is there. He's kicking people through the windows and flying off buildings. And it's like, eh. And my wife, we watch everything, but she just, Matrix, that's like, she just can't get into it. Maybe it's just Neo. Maybe it's Keanu Reeves. But she's a huge John Wick fan, so I don't know, maybe if I convince her.
Just like, tell her it's just John Wick. Basically.
It's a prelude to John Wick. Something about somebody stopping bullets or something. That'll get her in. I jumped over a building, too.
That's funny, man. That is funny. Man. Yeah, but definitely blessed with some content that's going to come out in the next month to years. You know, it's like constant content that's coming out, and we're definitely going to enjoy it. Definitely going to break it down on the podcast, of course. But episode 61 in the books. Dane, anything you want to say to the people before we get out of here?
Yeah, man. We're still in the middle of this pandemic. Do your part. Mask up. Wash your hands. Wash behind your ears. Listen, man, if you don't wash behind your ears, man, you losing, bro. That's all I got to say. That's it, man.
Episode 61 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Be sure to give us 5 stars and a great rating on Apple. Subscribe on YouTube, all that good stuff. I'm Deontay. He's Dane. We out.
Peace.